Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Music Business Journal podcast here at Berklee College of Music. I'm your host, Nicholas Adam Owens, and on today's podcast, we'll be discussing Google's new downloading service in China, Miley Cyrus' move to paperless ticketing, and we're also going to be taking a look at social media in today's music industry with Professor of Business at Loyola, George Howard. So with us in the studio today is David Widman, author of the article Google China and the Future of Intellectual Property. And hey, how are you, David?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. So you start your article talking about the present state of the Chinese economy. Why don't you give us a little bit about that?
Well, I think it's important in this case to keep in mind the state of global economics. You have the United States, which is by far the largest economy in the world, and has for a long time really been sort of a cultural exporter through its music industry. And then you have China, which is currently, I believe, the third largest economy on earth, just surpassed Germany, I think, last year. And China's economy is by far the fastest growing economy on earth in terms of growth rates per year. And with the Chinese economy in such a state of ascendancy, it's not unusual to hear projections that the Chinese economy will someday eclipse the United States economy and then grow rapidly in excess of it. What we're looking at is what a lot of economists are calling the Chinese century, which is to say that by 2100, it's likely that China will be the sole global economic hegemon. Other contenders are likely to be the BRICS, which are defined as Brazil, Russia, India, most likely India. I think a lot of people see that China and India are the two largest emerging markets and will continue to dominate the globe increasingly into the next century.
It looks like Google's trying to capitalize on the ever-growing Chinese market. So how are they trying to do that exactly?
Well, the internet market in China, just as the economy, is growing at a rapid pace, and there's nothing more popular in China right now than downloading music. And it's estimated that 99% of all music downloads in China are illegal, as it is. The U.S. record industry has had a heck of a time trying to penetrate that market. No one there seems to be willing to pay for music. And basically what we're seeing is sort of a capitulation by the record industry. They've given up. They're exasperated, and they've decided to simply give away music and take a portion of Google's ad revenue. And Google is more than happy to accommodate that. Google Music Search, the service that they have begun to provide there, is going to be attracting a huge volume of traffic. And on per-click advertising and per-view advertising, there's going to be a lot of money made there. And the record industry is just happy to make table scratchings off of that.
So do you think this new model would be adopted by the U.S. and other parts of the world?
Well, that's really interesting, actually, because I think a lot of people have foreseen some negative implications with this model. And at this point, Google has promised to limit this service to mainland China. If your IP address of your computer is located outside of mainland China, you will not be able to use Google Music Search. And I think the reason for this is that there are legitimate concerns, because every single one of the files downloaded on Google Music Search is going to be DRM-free, meaning that personal copying of any downloaded files will not be limited in any way.
So you're saying that these files will be DRM-free, but in your article you mentioned that Google China plans to watermark these files.
Yeah, that's one of the more peculiar parts of this, is that Google and the participating record labels have admitted that all files downloaded will be watermarked, but they haven't exactly said why. My guess is for gross volume measurement, to see what is being downloaded and in what quantities, so that the artists that are most popular and that are being downloaded most frequently in China will receive an appropriate portion of the revenues.
And you also say that these watermarks would be an effective means for tracking piracy.
Yeah, it's conceivable that they could be used in that way. I think a lot of people will remember in the 90s, Sony tried this by implanting software on CDs. And there was a huge uproar in the United States because people that had bought music and copied it were tracked by the company. And there was sort of a certain Big Brother privacy violation aspect to that that people didn't like. What Google might be able to provide is a detailed account of where these watermarked files are going and how quickly they're going there. In my article, I talk a little bit about how it'd be very easy for a file to be copied in Beijing and moved to Hong Kong and very quickly from there to Singapore, to Cape Town, to who knows what other cities around the world. But it's doubtful that this information could be used in a court of law because, again, it would be sort of collected in a clandestine manner.
So then what's the big picture here for Google China? What do you think they're really going towards?
I expressed some doubt in my article about the entire model, even though I really do admire it. I think it's a great idea. The problem is it's been compared to putting up billboards in your house so that every time you get robbed, the thieves are exposed to advertising and you make money. I feel that with China's 1.3 billion citizens and having only 22% of its population online at this point, and already possessing the largest internet market in the world, the gravity of their economy is going to continue shifting our Western ideals. And I think what you're seeing here is a relaxation of the protection of intellectual property. I feel that DRM was never settled. It's not a closed legal case. It's not settled in the United States. It's not settled anywhere. And to simply open up a free market in China wherein files are just given out and copied at the will and discretion of the downloaders is to basically kiss goodbye the protection of intellectual property.
Well, David, thank you for taking the time to come in and talk with us.
My pleasure, Adam.
Yeah, and I think we're all interested in seeing how this will play out in the future and how ultimately it will affect the music industry. David Widman is editor-in-chief of the MEJ and graduate fellow at Sawyer Business School in Boston. Our next guest is Christina Fabi, author of the article Ticketing Paper or Plastic. Hi, Christina. How are you?
Good, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on the podcast. So in your article, you're talking about Ticketmaster moving to paperless ticketing in order to fight the secondary market. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what paperless ticketing actually is?
So traditionally, concert goers had two options in buying their tickets. One was to just go to a venue and buy a hard copy of a ticket. And the other one was through, for example,